Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 2, Process of Creation. Chapter 4, The Process of Creation, text number 15. Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam.
Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam.
Yat bandhanam yat stravanam yat arhanam.
Yat bandhanam yat stravanam yat arhanam.
Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasha.
Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasha.
Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha.
Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha.
Yat Kirtanam Yat Smaranam Yat Ikshanam.
Yat Kirtanam Yat Smaranam Yat Ikshanam.
Yat Vandanam Yat Shravanam Yat Arhanam.
Yat Vandanam Yat Shravanam Yat Arhanam.
Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasha.
Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasha.
Tasmai Subhadra Shavase Namo Namaha.
Tasmai Subhadra Shavase Namo Namaha.
Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam.
Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam.
Yat vandanam yat shravanam yat arahanam. Lokasya satyo vidunoti kalmasam.
Lokasya satyo vidunoti kalmasam.
Tasmai Subhadram Shravase Namo Nama.
Tasmai Subhadram Shravase Namo Nama.
Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam.
Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam.
Yat vandanam yat shravanam yat arpanam.
Yat vandanam yat shravanam yat arpanam.
Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham.
Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham.
Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha.
Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha.
Ladies.
Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam.
Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam.
Yat vandanam yat shravanam yat arpanam.
Yat vandanam yat shravanam yat arpanam.
Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham.
Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham.
Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha.
Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha.
Yat,
yat,
whose,
whose,
kirtanam,
kirtanam,
glorification,
glorification,
yat,
yat,
whose,
whose,
smaranam,
smaranam,
remembrance,
remembrance,
yat,
yat,
whose,
whose,
ikshanam,
ikshanam,
audience,
audience,
yat,
yat,
whose,
whose,
vandanam,
vandanam,
prayers.
Prayers.
Yat,
yat.
Whose,
whose.
Shravanam,
shravanam.
Hearing about.
Hearing about.
Yat,
yat.
Whose,
whose.
Arhanam,
arhanam.
Worshipping.
Worshipping.
Lokasya,
lokasya.
Of all people.
People.
Sadhya,
sadhya.
Forthwith.
Forthwith.
Vidunoti,
vidunoti.
Specifically cleanses.
Specifically cleanses.
Kalmasham,
kalmasham,
effects of sins,
effects
of sins. Tasmai,
tasmai,
unto him,
unto him.
Subhadra,
Subhadra,
all auspicious,
all auspicious.
Shravase,
Shravase,
one who is heard,
one who is heard.
Namaha,
Namaha,
my due obeisances,
my due obeisances.
Namaha,
Namaha,
again and again,
again and again.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrances, audience, prayers, hearing and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. Please repeat, let me offer my respectful obeisances.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances.
Under the all auspicious.
Under the all auspicious.
Lord Sri Krishna.
Lord Sri Krishna.
About whom?
About whom?
Glorification.
Glorification.
Remembrances.
Remembrances.
Audience.
Audience.
Prayers.
Prayers.
Hearing.
Hearing.
And worship.
And worship.
Can at once cleanse the effects.
Can at once cleanse the effects.
Of all sins of the performer.
All sins of the performer.
Purport. Sublime form of the religious performances, to free oneself from all reactions of sins is suggested herein by the greatest authority, Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Kirtanam, or glorifying the Lord, can be performed in very many ways, such as remembering, visiting temples to see the deity, offering prayers in front of the Lord, and hearing recitations of glorification of the Lord, as they are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam or in the Bhagavad Gita. Kirtanam can be performed both by singing the glories of the Lord in accompaniment with melodious music, and by recitation of scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. The devotees need not be disappointed in the physical absence of the Lord, though they may think of not being associated with Him. The devotional process of chanting, hearing, remembering, etc., either all of them or some of them, or even one of them, can give us the desired result of associating with the Lord by discharging the transcendental loving service of the Lord in the above manner. Even the very sound of the holy name of Lord Krishna or Rama can at once surcharge the atmosphere spiritually. We must know definitely that the Lord is present wherever such pure transcendental service is performed. Thus, the performer of offenseless kirtan has positive association with the Lord. Similarly, remembrance and prayers can also give us the desired result if they are properly done under expert guidance. One should not concoct forms of devotional service. One may worship the form of the Lord in a temple, or one may impersonally offer the Lord devotional prayers in a mosque or a church. One is sure to get free from the reactions of sins, provided one is very careful about not committing sins willingly in expectation of getting free from the reactions of sins by worshiping the temple, by offering prayers in the church. The mentality of committing sins willfully on the strength of devotional service is called namno balad yasyahi papa buddhi, and is the greatest offense in the discharge of devotional service. Hearing, therefore, is essential in order to keep oneself strictly on guard against such pitfalls of sins, in order to give special stress to the hearing process. The Goswami invokes all auspicious fortune in this manner. So the text again, yet kirtanam, yet smarnam, yet ikshanam, yet vandanam, yet stravanam, yet arhanam, lokasya sadyo vidunoti kamasham, tasmai subhadra shafase namo maha. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrances, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Vidai, Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Sarasatun Deve Gauravani Vracharane, Nirvishesha Shundavadi Pasyatya De Satarna. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the tendency to do the wrong thing. There he says, Indriyas, Indriyas, Yarate, Ragadvesho, Vivyastito, Toryorna Vasham Agachet, Toryasya Paripantino. That Indriyas, Indriyas, Yarate, Ragadvesho, Vivyastito. That even while one is trying to perform the proper activities, still the senses are so powerful, the mind is so powerful that they even overcome the intelligence of someone who is trying to actually follow properly. And before that, Krishna mentions that it's better to perform one's own activity, well, sadrisham chitta-sesvasya prakritir jnanavanapi prakritim yandibhutani nigraha kim karishyasi. What's the first word of the translation?
Sattvisham.
No, the translation.
Even a man.
Even if a person
of knowledge,
he becomes overwhelmed by the propensity for sense gratification. Even when he's in trying to endeavor to control his senses, he may become deviated by them. So it's better to remain in one's own occupational duty, Krishna says. What is the next one? Indriyas, Indriyas, Arte.
There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion.
So one should not become attached to them. Attached to them, one should not fall under the control of them, because they're stumbling blocks in the path of self-realization. Prabhupada mentions that even on the royal road, when one is trying to follow the principles, there may be danger even on the royal road. In other words, the Vedas may give us instructions how to perform our activities in this world to gradually become disentangled from our material conception of life. But even while performing them, we shouldn't become attached to them. Because the tendency of the living entity is he's always trying to figure out how to enjoy his material circumstances. Even he's in hell, he's burning in hell, he's trying to figure out how to get a better position in hell and make advancement there. Try to bribe the Yamadutas or make a deal with Yamaraj, become an informant for Yamaraj. Everyone's always trying, even in the worst situation, someone's trying to figure out how to take advantage of it. Therefore, there are principles that regulate one's attachment and aversion, but one should become attached simply to the principles. One should become attached to get out of attachment and aversion. And then Krishna says, Shreyan svadamo viguna para dharma sunustitat. That's better to perform one's own occupational duty, even if it's to perform it perfectly, than to perform someone else's duty. That failure performing one's own duty is better than so-called success performing someone else's duty, because to perform someone else's duty is dangerous. In other words, we should find out what Krishna wants us to do, not what our mind tells us to do. There's no question of service when we're simply doing what our mind's telling us. We may feel good, I'm independent, I'm doing what I want to do, because I'm something special, and therefore I can do what I want to do. Or it's, the modern philosophy is, it's too restrictive to do what I'm told to do. I'm not using my creativity, my personality. I feel repressed. And therefore, let me do what I want to do. And even it's not what I'm supposed to be doing, but still I feel good about it. And that's the most important thing, is how I feel about it. So that mentality is more or less, that's the conditioned mentality for sense gratification. Even when we perform it perfectly, We claim, well, look how nicely I'm doing it. Look how successful I am. Although I'm not doing what Krishna wants me to do, I'm not doing what his representatives wanted to do. But the proof I'm doing how successful I am. But there's no mood of service, so therefore the success will be rather external, rather than the actual, what we're trying to cultivate is the mood of service. And what is the actual principle behind the mood? The activity may be expertly done from the material point of view, but then Krishna said, Arjuna asked, tat keno puyuktoyam papam charati purusha anitanapi varshneya baladiva niyojita. What is this force that's subtly pushing everyone to do what they want to do? And then Krishna says, raga dvesha, raga kama esha, kama esha ratana, krodha esha, raja guna samudbhavaha, mahashino mahapapa vidinam iha varina, kama esha, krodha esha, raja guna samudbhavaha. So it's this desire to enjoy in the material energy, at least on the mental platform. Kama esha, krodha esha, raja guna samudbhavaha, mahashino. This is the great desire. Ashano. Mahapama. It's also the great sin. Kama esha, krodha esha, raja guna samudbhavaha, mahashano, mahapama, vidyanam iha varena. And it's the actual great enemy of the soul. This desire to enjoy independently of Krishna. Just like in my society, they build these big, big buildings and they have these inventions where everything's going faster, computers, and they're more systematically made. But what's the whole purpose? To please Krishna? To get out of material existence? No. Generally it's used so they can have different games for people to divert their attention. The real problems of life, old age, disease, and death, the fact that they're, even from the material point of view, that they're being cheated in every way, the air is contaminated, the water is contaminated, the food is contaminated, they're being robbed of every good quality, but they're satisfied if they can play some game on some computer. They think that's progress. Prabhupada said, people are coming to the minister in India complaining they're starving. And the minister says, well, I can't give you food, but tomorrow we'll have another channel on television, don't worry. So this is generally called illusion. People are not knowing what the purpose of life is, and they think there's progress. The more they're in illusion, the more they can be diverted from the actual problems, then the more they feel satisfied. Now if they play games in two dimension, if it's three dimensional, that's progress. If they can enter into a virtual reality where they can actually be God in that virtual reality, in a dreamlike reality, then that's progress. They don't know, actually they're supposed to try to obtain Krishna, but instead they are hankering after something completely insignificant. Being misled by blind leaders, they're blind and their leaders are blind. Therefore Krishna explains, Dumena vriyate vanera yatara darsha malena cha ito karbina nastadam tate. Just like fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by womb, so similarly living entities are covered by different degrees of lust. So we don't realize we're in a straitjacket. That this body, this subtle mind, this subtle intelligence, of covering our spiritual senses and therefore denying us actual freedom, actual happiness, actual awareness. personally trying to change one covering for the next. We're trying to get a better cell to live in. We look at our prison cell and we think, oh, it's not decorated enough. Let me decorate my cell, put some flowers in it, and then take a picture and send it to Facebook. And then people can send me their cells that they're in on Facebook and we can admire them. I really put better cells in them. Yeah, this magazine, Better Homes and Gardens. So better cells and gardens. To get out of the cell, they're not interested. They're interested in decorating the cell. Or, I like your cell, I think I'll get that one the next time. I'll move into your cell. So there are 8,400,000 species of life, and every particular species of life has its advantage. And people are more or less becoming interested in the different advantages. Those who are very much interested in flying, undoubtedly in the future they'll become birds. Why should they go through the trouble and the inconvenience and the problems equated with getting into an airplane? Better you become an airplane. You get in, you have your own personal airplane to fly around. And of the varieties of birds you can choose, become a hawk, become a pigeon, whatever. I want to become a nice bird, so let me become a pigeon. Get charity. Or let me take, or I want to become a first class bird like an eagle. Or if one wants to become a hog, no one, Krishna will give that opportunity. Because a hog can eat anything, no one will complain. My dear hog, you should go on a diet. We never heard of a hog going on a diet. Nor is to the female hog, when it eats too much, it's just as attractive as the skinny hog. There's no contraceptive for the hog. Doesn't matter how many children it has, there's no problem. You don't have to worry about the education of the children. You don't have to worry about anything. Everything is there perfectly. You don't have to worry about training. You don't have to worry about cleaning your house. You're living in a pigsty, and everything is, as far as you're concerned, it smells fantastic. You don't have to buy incense. Not everything is perfectly there. You can just eat, sleep, have sex, and try to defend yourself, and you don't have to worry about anything else. You can become 100% absorbed in spontaneous sense gratification. Doesn't have to be regulated at all. Anything you see, you can eat. Anytime you want to sleep, just fall down and go to sleep. No question of waking up at a certain time. No appointments. You don't have to see your landlord. You don't have to pay for the electricity, the heating, nothing. Just fall down and sleep peacefully. Why would a hog be in anxiety? What's there to be anxiety about? And as far as, you know, sex life goes, anything is beautiful. Everyone is beautiful. Anything that moves is beautiful. And there's no guilt. There's no, oh, I should control my senses. And no, everything. There's no anxiety whatsoever. And you may not be expert at karate as a hog, but you do the best you can. You don't really care. So the uniform of life is rather inconvenient if one is fixed in the idea, let me be happy here in the mature world. Hog, better to be in hog heaven than struggling with material nature as a human being, where you have to go to school so you can get a job, just so you can get some place to sleep. And something to eat, which may or may not be on the same level as what the hog is eating. And every relationship is so complicated. You have to worry about whether or not the lady gets pregnant, and then the education comes, and the bills, and so many different things, and the debts, and it's so much anxiety. And basically, you're speaking, you're not even enjoying as much as the hog is. So much problems, and basically speaking, the hog is without any anxiety and enjoying it much more. Therefore, if one wants to live in the material world and enjoy it, better to become a hog than the very inconvenient form of a human being. So many problems. Of course, a hog has to go through old age, disease, and death, but he's not worried about it, usually, commonly speaking. A hog's not thinking, oh, it's my seventh birthday, I'm getting old. He doesn't know about these things, generally speaking. Therefore, being covered by the illusory energy, the idea is to get out of it in the human form of life, not to cultivate it. But people don't know that, and therefore, because they're misled by leaders who don't even know the most basic things of life. Therefore, Krishna says, Arvitam gyan ekena, gyanino nityavarina, kamarupena kundiya, duspraena analena cha. That's a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So they don't know this is Varinam, this is our greatest enemy. Instead, they're trying to cultivate it. They think that this is progress. For a while there in America, they had what was called streakers, people running through the streets naked. And they thought this is progress. We're actually getting to the point that one day, we'll just be like the animals. We'll be walking in the streets like a jungle, naked. And that will be the sign of our advancement. Because people don't know that lust is the greatest enemy. That's what disturbs us. They think it's our greatest friend, and we must cultivate it. That if a person gets old and he's not lusty anymore, then he has an operation or takes some drugs to make him lusty again, because he thinks that's life. They don't realize it's covering the soul, it's agitating our consciousness, it's causing us to do things which will put us into misery, because people don't know what is have no idea, even theoretically, what is reality. Therefore, Krishna says, Indriyasunayasyarate, raga dvesho vyavyastito, taryorna visham aga chet toyasya paripantino. Indriyani manobudir, asidishtam uchite, eteravi mohat yatye sham gyana vrittadevina. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence of the sitting places of lust, which veil the real knowledge of living entities, and bewilders them. And the Prabhupada writes in the purport, our whole problem starts with hearing. That when we hear the glories of sense gratification, we become attracted. Let me try it out. That's how advertisement works. They take the most insignificant thing and they spend millions of euros to advertise it. Put some lusty man or some lusty woman on the billboard, relishing, you know, putting the underarm deodorant underneath their arm and saying how they became ecstatic after they did it. And how the opposite sex fell at their feet, saying, you have some attractive quality we can't understand, but we're just inevitably attracted to after you put on that underarm deodorant. So people actually believe it. They'll go out and buy it. Let me try it out. It's only €3. Let me give it a chance. See what happens. So they hear about the glories of some insignificant object in the material world, and then suddenly becomes significant. And then they hanker for it. thinking if I get it, then my life will become complete. There's something missing from my life. It's this underarm deodorant with this formula X in it. That's what I'm missing. Then I'll live in Vaikuntha forever with it. So the glory is, as Prabhupada said, even an insignificant person, if he's glorified in the modern communication, suddenly he becomes significant. And of course, the people who glorify these insignificant people, they have their reasons also. Things are not going on accidentally. But in any case, we're being controlled simply by the glory. If one stops reading the newspaper, watching television, going to these modern schools, then one is considered uneducated, unaware. But actually, he begins to become really aware of what's really going on. If he hears from the right source what is reality from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, then one can actually become conscious of what's actually happening. And then one can become conscious that I'm actually supposed to get out of lust, anger, and greed. Trividam narakasyadam, dwaram nashindam, atmanaha, kama krodha tatala avasta, tasmadetam trayam tvejet. That there are three gates leading to hell, namely lust, anger, and greed. Every sane person should try to get free from them because they lead to degradation of the self. So that's real education. But where is that education except for the Hare Krishna movement? This little tiny class we have with a few devotees in Timisoara, we're talking about getting free from lust, anger, and greed. So today's Sunday. So maybe at the church sermons or whoever goes to mosque or whatever, they'll talk about something about getting free from lust, anger, and greed by getting more money. Pray to God to get more money and then you won't be so lusty for more money because God will supply it to you. And then you can spend the money any way you want to satisfy your lust, your anger, and your greed. Try to be lusty, become greedy, but try to restrain your anger a little bit. Try to light a fire and keep it burning and increase it, but try not to get too hot. Burn in the fire, but don't get disturbed by it. So they want lust, they want greed, but they don't want anger. But this is all part of delusion. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it glorifies Krishna, it glorifies the process of Krishna consciousness, and it glorifies the fact that by associating with Krishna, one can get free from these illusory different types of consciousness. But people will not become attracted, generally speaking. Prabhupada gives the example that his godbrother, he spoke to Lord Zeppelin. Lord Zeppelin asked him, Lord Zeppelin was formerly the governor of West Bengal, a respectable gentleman who was favorable to Krishna consciousness. And when he was in England, when he went back to England, he asked one of Prabhupada's godbrothers who had come there from India, can you make me into a Brahmin? So his godbrother said, yes, of course. You just have to follow four principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. And Lord Zeppelin's answer was, impossible. How is it possible? People would rather die than follow these principles. This is life. So a respectable gentleman had some idea what Krishna consciousness was, some interest, but wouldn't give up sinful activity. Matter of fact, if you tell people this is sinful activity, they reject it. Oh, this is old-fashioned. You think it's sin. It's not sin. It's love. It's life. This is our existence. So, ultimately, Maya has robbed their intelligence. They have no idea actually what reality is or how to achieve it, nor are they interested in it. They want to enjoy the material world to the utmost, and therefore whatever knowledge, whatever advancement they have is simply to get a better situation for material sense gratification. And they can't understand why they can't solve the problems of life. Just like in modern society, on the internet, there's a class of people who are trying to control everyone, who are doing everything necessary to cheat them and rob them and steal from them. There's another class of people who are aware of the fact that they're being robbed and stolen from and cheated, but they have no idea what the solution is, except to complain. Why is this man picking my pocket? He shouldn't pick this pocket, he should pick the other pocket. But they have no idea why they're in such a situation. And if they're told, you should give up illicit sex, you should give up gambling, you should give up meat eating, you should give up so many different sinful activities, and then you'll get the intelligence what to do about these situations. But they reject it. No, I'd rather have someone steal from me and lie from me and whatever else. But don't force me to give up these, what I consider my life. I'd rather die than give up these things. The conclusion is, hearing about Krishna is necessary. Hearing about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is necessary. So people can gradually, we can all understand gradually, that these things are not desirable. Cultivating lust, cultivating anger, cultivating greed, remaining in delusion, forgetting our real position, losing our spiritual direction of life is not the goal of life, the human life. Human life is simply an opportunity to reverse the situation by hearing transcendental knowledge, recovering our memory of our real nature, getting free from delusion, getting free from anger, getting free from greed, getting free from lust, and contemplating Krishna rather than the objects of the senses. By hearing about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, serving the deity in the temple, etc. So I'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes?
The text says that the activities in connection to Krishna can cleanse the effects of all sins. Does this happen for anyone, or we should have some conditions fulfilled for this to happen?
Well, it happens when Krishna, when we, there are preliminary qualifications. One is that we accept that everything belongs to Krishna. If we don't accept that everything belongs to Krishna, well, first of all, we have to accept there is a Krishna. Then we can consider whether everything belongs to Krishna or not. And that everything is meant for Krishna's service, to please Krishna. Then with that in mind, then we can find out what Krishna wants me to do with his energy. And then when we find out what Krishna wants us to do with his energies, if we do it enthusiastically to please him, the result is that we'll actually think about Krishna with devotion. And when we think about Krishna with devotion, that means Krishna is revealing himself to us, and that's what will free us from our past sins. The ecstasy of associating with Krishna. As Krishna says, just like the blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, so does the fire of transcendental knowledge burn to ashes the reactions to all our previous activities, sinful activities. So in the ecstasy of remembering, having Krishna's association, that burns away the coverings of our senses. Yes.
In Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that devotees should not be in anxiety because Lord is not physically present before them. And I want to ask, is there, should be a devotee anxious for something? Anxiety should be...
We're always in anxiety. You don't have to worry about being in anxiety. As soon as we take birth, we're anxiety. But we should be anxious to try to understand how to perform better devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj prayed that his devotional service might become more strong and steady. So we can become anxious for that. We may become anxious so that we can become a better servant of Krishna and his devotees. Yes.
Is there a point where we inside that a person is hopeless in receiving some Vedic knowledge.
Which person?
Another person, a friend.
Yeah, of course. You just have to give him a book, ask for a donation.
Yeah.
He won't accept the book, he's probably pretty hopeless. And if he doesn't accept the book, give him some prasadam. If he refuses prasadam, then ask him to chant Hare Krishna. If he won't do that, you know, what to do? What can you do? He won't accept anything being offered to him. Prabhupada used to do that. When he preached to somebody, he'd tell them about, you're not this body. They couldn't accept that. Then he'd tell them about Vanashram, about trying to create first class people. They couldn't accept that. He'd just give them some prasadam. Leave the rest to Krishna. Maybe enough prasadam, they'll become, their brains will develop and they'll get a little interested. Yes.
You talk about lust, anger, and greed. And what should we do? We have to renounce of this anger, lust, and greed, or to transform. And if we should transform this, how we can transform?
Well, the best thing to do is to just give them up by getting a higher taste. If we get a higher, if we concentrate our minds on our devotional service and try to improve it here in Chantnicer, then Krishna will reveal himself to us, and when we become purified, these things will go away. In the presence of Krishna, the ecstasy of becoming conscious of Krishna purifies these things. But if not, if we're not that serious or learned or whatever else, then we can dovetail, just like we're eating, but we're eating Krishna prasadam, something offered to Krishna. And if we can try to remember it's Krishna prasadam, then we'll make some more advancement. Similarly, one may be attracted to household life. So you have children, but you have them to raise them in Krishna consciousness. So there's dovetailing, and there's also directly becoming conscious of Krishna, and that solves everything. So while we're even utilizing our senses in Krishna service, even gratifying them in a Krishna conscious way, still at the same time we should try and make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, that's what it says, that even on the royal road, we shouldn't become attached to the process of utilizing our senses, satisfying our material desires and by utilizing them in Krishna service. But we should ultimately try to strive to become Krishna conscious, to actually get a higher taste. If we see how attractive Krishna is, then the attractions in the material world will gradually diminish. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.